ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I talked with Michael with Texas Outlaws. They have their indoor season starting here pretty soon. They're out in Mesquite, and they're excited to start their third season. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Michael Delgado. I'm with the Texas Outlaws. I'm the Director of Business Outreach and Operations. I'm new on the staff as of August, and you know, we're excited for this upcoming season, and we're going to get after it.
Love it. So, Mike, how did you get into soccer? Let's start there, and this beautiful game that we all love and enjoy.
Yeah, so, you know, my mom and dad, I was born in California, actually, and so growing up, I played soccer in California. A unique thing that my mom did for me, which I appreciate now, is she knew soccer was going to be my thing. So she made me play other sports first. So I did t-ball, you know, baseball, hockey, ice hockey. So I did all that first because she knew soccer was going to stick. You know, my dad grew up playing, and so that was something that was going to be, so she wanted to make sure I just got a little diversity and got to see other things before I made my trek in the soccer. And so, yeah, so it all started in California.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I think that's key as a parent, is making sure your kids are well-rounded athletes. Like, they can't say you can't play this or you can't play that. It's you got lucky. You got to play ice hockey. I think that's even more expensive than soccer now. I have a 9-year-old child and a 5-year-old child, and we are very much advocates of multi-sport athletes. We let them pick everything they're doing. So for us, it is key to exposure. My son says he doesn't like baseball. You wait too long between batting. He doesn't like football. He doesn't like American football because it is there's too many. If one person fails their job, you have to start over, and you only get 4 chances. And it's like, and then so there's all that fun stuff. That's awesome that your mom did that. I think that's such a fascinating. She already had the sight. So where did you go from? What did you? How did your path project to get you to where you are today? Then
yeah. So obviously, I grew up playing in California. We moved to Texas, Mesquite, Texas, specifically. In 2002. And so when I first got here to Texas, obviously we really didn't know anything. We really didn't know much at all. Even before that, you know, my dad, he came across the border from Mexico, from Jalisco. And then my mom was from Austin. She played softball, you know, growing up. But, you know, neither one of them went to college. And so I was, you know, the first one in our family later on down the line to go to college. And so when we got here to Texas, you know, just connected in the community, you know, honestly, at first started out like most kids, you know, playing rec and, you know, figuring that out. And then eventually I got onto a local club team, a more small independent team that was here in the Dallas Metroplex. And then, yeah, you know, my senior year, gracious enough, you know, I got district MVP, and I went to Mesquite Poteet. Casey Osborne was my coach there. He was a young coach, when he took on that job. And we had a lot of success there at Mesquite Poteet. You know, my senior year, we ended up, going to the 5th round, losing to the Colony. And then that next year, which was my best friend's, David, his senior year, they ended up piggybacking off of that, and they made it all the way to the state championship, and we lost in the state final. But to back up just a little bit, you know, after my senior year, me and David that I was telling you about, we went to Argentina for some tryouts and to try to, you know, get out there. And so he had some contacts out there. So we, you know, I'd never been before, but I was done with college. I had ambitions of, you know, trying to go pro a different route. Like I said, I didn't play on your FC Dallas or Solars and all that. So my journey was a little bit different. So I went and did that. We were there for 2 to 3 months. You know, we both got 2 or 3 contract offers. But David had one more year of high school, and I knew my parents would be like, if David's going to stay there, then you can stay there. And so we called his parents, and we got his dad on board. And then mom was kind of like, no, you need to come back, finish your high school diploma, and then you can go back. And so I was like, dang it. So I called my mom and let her know, and she was like, well, you can come back. I was 17 at the time I graduated. I was the youngest in my class. And so that experience being out there in Argentina was definitely, I'm grateful that I went on that trip and did it and got to experience it. I had a couple of tryouts in Mexico after that. And then before I left to all that, my high school coach's best friend, took the job, at Howard Payne. It's a Division III school in Brownwood, Texas. So he became the head coach there, and there was about 6 or 7 of us, from our team that, you know, we're going to go play there. And so we kind of all committed there as a group. And so, yeah, so I finally started my first week of college. It was August 13th. Still remember that to the day. And so we started preseason. You know, my playing career ended up getting cut short. You know, 2 weeks into my freshman year, after my second college game, I was involved in a car accident. And so I went from, you know, being in Argentina, being at the top, what I thought was the top, to, 3 weeks later, getting into a car accident that left me paralyzed from the chest down, not being able to play anymore. And so that's why my story is unique, different. You know, we all have different adversities and stuff. And I'll kind of pause it there and see if you have any questions on that, and then I can continue going forward.
That's amazing. I mean, tragic what happened, and worry. I've heard stories like this. I don't know much about you as an individual. Do you have mobility now, or do you regain mobility?
Yeah, so I
and be able to play still somewhat. Or
I was just... a T7 complete injury, so I'm paralyzed from a little below the chest down. Okay. I did not. I've been in the chair since 2008. And so with that being said, you know, my high school coach, when I had that car accident, August 31st, 2008, you know, at first it was a challenge, you know, but I think it was easy for me because I was in that mode of wanting to try to go to the next level. And I had goals and ambitions. So when I had the car accident, my doctors told me I wasn't a normal patient, because I had a smile on my face still. I was, you know, trying to get out of the hospital. You know, I wanted to get out and potentially, you know, walk out of there and be able to do my own things. So I was just getting after it from the get go. And so, yeah, you know, there was no, and I think that came from, you know, my parents, you know, their hard work and them just never getting the opportunities that maybe they deserved, and just having to prove myself. I'm super competitive. If you can throw a challenge at me, and you know, I'm gonna go after and try to get it done or make it better. You know,
no, to have that positivity after a tragic event is amazing, because I feel like so many people get hung up or brought down, and
for sure.
I can only imagine the energy that you bring with you everywhere you go now because of your view and your foresight on life. I think that's awesome. So how did you end up now transitioning? So that was 2008 that happened.
Eight. And
you so you finished college 2012?
Yeah, so 2008, my high school coach was like, hey, why don't you come out and volunteer coach here at Poteet? You know, your best friend David, it's his senior year. Just come out. And thankfully I was like, yeah, let me do it. So I was at every training session all throughout that 2009 year. And, you know, we ended up going all the way to the state championship. And I think that really motivated me. And so I told my mom, after it was about April, you know, Texas high school soccer finishes up around that time. And so I was like, mom, you know what, I'm going to go back. I'm going to finish what I started. It's going to be in a different capacity. But I want to go back, finish my degree, and be a part of the team that I originally went to. And so my mom was a little, hesitant at first, you know, cause Brownwood's, it's about 3.5 hours here from Dallas. So it's away, but, and that was one of the reasons why we went there. Cause it was, you could get away from home, but it was close enough if we wanted to be back in Dallas to get back in Dallas, you know? And so, yeah, so I went back in 2009, the fall of 2009, and Coach Wright, our head soccer coach, who's now at Ouachita Baptist, he, you know, from the get-go was, you know, we're going to bring you back, you're going to be a student assistant coach and still be involved in the program, and help us out in any capacity. And so that's what I did. So I did my student coaching until I graduated 2013. I graduated from Howard Payne with a bachelor's in education. So my goal was to be a high school soccer coach and teach in the classroom. I did Spanish education with a minor in coaching. And so so then once I got done with that, Coach Wright, around 2015, I believe, it was, he took the job at Ouachita Baptist. And so when it was kind of in the springtime, and so there was a period of time, about 2 months, I would say roughly, that, you know, that there was no head coach. And so me and a buddy of mine, we we took it upon ourselves to make sure that we were going to help guide the guys and whoever they were going to hire to be the next head coach. You know, we would make sure that the boys are still locked in and you know, not wanting to transfer out and all that good stuff. And then they hired Esteban Arbiza from Hardin-Simmons. And so when he came on board, he brought me on as one of his assistants. So I was a college assistant coach there at Howard Payne. And then I was like, you know what, if I don't get my master's now, I don't think I'm going to do it later on. And so I ended up, while I was the assistant coach there, starting my master's program from Concordia Irvine in California, in athletic admin to be like an athletic director and stuff like that. So I finished that in 2015. So that was a year and a half program. And then in 2015, a buddy of mine, he got offered a job here in the Dallas area at Paul Quinn College. And so right away he was like, Delgado, you know, I'm in this area. You know, do you want to come on board with me? And so I was like, sure. You know, we're used to starting things from the get go, like there at Howard Payne. And so him and I, we started the men's and women's program at Paul Quinn College in Dallas. And so from 2015 all the way up until 2017, we finally grew the program, both on the men's side and the women's side, to where, you know, we were getting sponsors in, we were getting student athletes in. And then 2017, I became the women's head coach there at Paul Quinn. And then I assisted the men's program. And then in 2022, I took over as the head coach for the men's program. 2021, took over for the men's program as the head coach in the women's program. And then fast forward to August of this year, I then got on staff. You know, I knew Brad from out recruiting at the college level. And so he had reached out to me and he's like, hey man, and you know, I got this GM position at the Texas, or formerly Mesquite Outlaws. And we rebranded it to the Texas Outlaws. And he was like, man, I'd love to have you on board. I don't know exactly where yet, but I'd love to have you on board. And so that transition happened pretty quickly. And so, yeah, so now I'm here with the Texas Outlaws. Like I said earlier, I'm the director of business outreach and operations here with the Texas Outlaws.
That's awesome. The Texas Outlaws, they went through a major rebranding this year, I felt, because they went from Mesquite Outlaws to Outlaws. Is there something in the works with that, or is it just renaming it so they can be more Texas than?
So the rebrand was really just working to build off, you know, Coach Tattoo and the boys' season last year. You know, I think a lot of teams and people kind of in a way didn't think that could happen. You know, last year was their first year back since before COVID. And so really we had someone say it's our kind of red shirt sophomore season or something like that. It's really just about that, just continuing to build the brand and make sure that, you know, we're strong in all facets, our front office to our players, to our coaching staff, just making sure that we're getting after it and putting the brand to the highest level.
So with the season coming up, we talked about this earlier, December 3rd is your first away game, which is not your home opener, but that's your first game of the season. And your next is when you guys have your first home opener. I think I wrote it down correctly. December 9th. No, that's when you're playing.
December 16th is our 16th. Home opener. You know, yeah, we compete game. There right at the Mesquite Arena. And so we're super excited about that. And the new partnerships that we've made. We're really excited about that first game. And just making sure that we build off last year, like I said, both on and off the field. Just making sure that we continue to grow, specifically the game of soccer, but grow our brand as well.
So So with the season starting on the 16th, do you guys have anything special planned for that match for indoor, or is it going to be this grand party like I feel like all home openers are?
Yeah, we have a couple of things that we'll be announcing here in the coming weeks. Some of our new partnerships and stuff. We do have a theme that we will be rolling out in the coming weeks, but I'll kind of just let that hang in there until we announce it. But yeah, we're super excited about that home opener, and we want to make sure that we give our fans and the kids, the opportunity to be a part of something special.
Now, we guys have every game. I feel like most of these games like have special themes, special things going on. Be interactive with the community. I follow you guys on social media now, and I see that you guys are very heavily involved in the community. Will that continue throughout the season, or will it be more focused on the game? I just ask because I know it's very hard to do both, looking at
Yeah,
all professional teams.
for sure. So, as we get closer in the season, obviously right now, along with the rest of our front office, we've just really been doing our part to get out to the community of Mesquite here, and then as well, all throughout North Texas. And so with the rebrand, kind of casting a wider, broader net, and going out and getting more of a North Texas fan base as we go through this upcoming season. And so as season gets up, obviously, our coaches and our players are going to be focused on first competing in the regular season and making a another run in the playoffs and getting to the playoffs. So they'll be busy, but our front office and our interns will be still getting out into the community and working to grow the brand, like I said earlier.
That's awesome. So this is more of for parents to understand. As indoor soccer is arena soccer. I mean, I've learned the difference. speaking, so you have futsal and you have arena. What is it? It is arena soccer, correct? I am saying it
Correct.
right. The rules are slightly different than other soccer and altogether. Basics are there. But as players progress, do you guys go and recruit players from high school levels, or do you guys have open tryouts so parents can come and have their players, their dream is to go play pro, maybe
For
sign a
sure.
semi-pro contract so they can go still compete in collegiate, whatever it may be. Do you guys have stuff like that, or is it mostly looking for a certain age group and so they have the liberties to travel? Because I know you guys' your travel schedule is absolutely crazy.
So, we actually last week just finished up our second tryouts for this upcoming year. We've had two tryouts now, where it was open for whoever wanted to sign up for it. And so, we had a good showing at that first tryout. We had upwards of 60 guys there, which was, a good show out for our first tryout for this upcoming year. And then this last week, we capped it out. And I think we ended up with about 30, 35. But we wanted to make sure that we could focus in a little bit more our coaches as they're evaluating the guys and what who they want to bring on and whatnot. We wanted to give it a little bit more scoped. And not as many numbers, because it can get to be a lot when you got way too many people out there,
Yeah, I mean, I'm just amazed at how much the game is like hockey. The
Yes,
constant
yeah.
transitioning of lines. I mean, it is absolutely amazing what these guys can do and manipulate the ball when they're on the pitch. So as you guys go through this tryout process, is there an age cap and an age too young to play, or where do you guys do it? Because I know that there are, I mean,
Yeah.
requirements from the league and things along that line.
So I believe this last year we had a player or two that was 18, 19 around that age. And then I mean at the tryouts I know we had a few 19-year-olds, and then the ages were mixed. I mean, there was a couple guys out there that were in their 30s, that were trying out. So the age range was young and goes to, I mean, really whoever wants to take a shot, at it. And so the other thing that I didn't mention is our GM, he's actually on a flight right now to Utica, because the MASL is having their MASL combine and draft this weekend. And
Oh, wow.
so that's another opportunity. Our coaches are going to be up there, as well as our GM Brad, up there in Utica. They're on their way out there, because that MASL combine and draft. And so that thing's pretty cool. A couple years ago, we hosted it here at the Mesquite Arena, and now Utica will be hosting it this year.
That's awesome. My big thing with Utica, I'm in 2.5 hours north from there. That's where I was born and raised, in a small town. So,
Okay.
but
Very cool. Very cool.
I will root for
Yeah.
you guys over Utica, by the way. I have no ties to Utica. No. I'll root for you guys. So as you guys go through this process of finding talent, finding players, now you don't have to talk numbers, but is it, I always look at like the this as more of like a, because some of the players I've read about, not between the Outlaws and the Sidekicks, because those are the only two examples we have in the Metroplex that I can think of. I don't. My wife and I had a conversation one day. Is this a lot of them, like at the Sidekicks, are a couple of them are several of them are teachers, or and they coach on the side, and is it more of a dream of still being able to play and make an income, or is it something that they can actually live off from? And or like they could play and go to college hypothetically, or is it just a like a part-time job? Because I think people get confused because your season is really condensed and really short.
So our we'll start training together with the team early November, and then obviously our season starting at the beginning of December. So really November all the way through April is the time frame that our players will be getting ready and competing in the season. But obviously those months that they're not, several of our players, the majority of them, they have their own personal training skills. And so I think just off the top of my head, I know we've got like six or seven of them that they do those. And so that's a way for them to supplement income as well in those other months. And so it's a all hands on deck. They have to do things outside as well, to make ends meet. And so
I'm looking at it as having a young child. His dream is to play professional soccer, and he might have to go work a 9 to 5, but he can still have the chance to go play on a pro team
for sure.
like the Outlaws, and having a chance to go continue having the best of both worlds, even though it may be a crazy 6 months doing both. I know that a lot of the coaches I've met that are still players that are playing, I know that Segu, his job, and I know that too, where he coaches and outside of the Outlaws. So, I mean, it's very fascinating to me, the economics of it all and how it works, because I think parents just have this idea, oh, they can go play this. Well, this is the income for 6 months. They have to go offset it somewhere else. Now, as you progress, do you guys sign long-term deal contracts, or do you guys have short-term contracts? Because as players progress or regress, I don't, I, and it's horrible, worst thing to say about a player ever having to do, or something happens, how does that affect contractual stuff? Or if you don't want to mention it, it's fine. I'm just trying to give an understanding.
No, so I don't do a lot with the contracts, but we do sign short-term deals and long-term deals. So we do both, and it's really comes down to Coach Tattoo and his staff of what they want in certain players. And so You know, we've done several re-signings for this upcoming year. And a lot of the rookies, I believe, they do like two to three year deals. And so their contracts, you know, then they renew or renegotiate after those 2 to 3 years. And then your players that have been in the league for a while, their contracts are set up a little bit differently. But yeah, you know, there's short-term contracts, long-term contracts. You know, the teams do trades and stuff. I know this past year we picked up a few players, you know, mid-season or whenever it is before the cutoff is. And so, you know, they do, the league does do trades at the draft. I'm sure there will probably be some trades that'll be done, you know, throughout the draft. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like any other professional sports league.
That's really cool because first of all, I didn't know you guys had a Columbine. I mean, that is phenomenal. It has grown that much to get to that point. Because when you talk to former players, they talk about indoor as what they did during their off season of outdoor over the mm-hmm. like, because they go from, what is it, normally the old time frame, I think it was like February to November, and that's where you guys aren't to a degree.
Yeah,
there's a slight overlap, but it's amazing that when you talk to some of these players, that's what they would do. They would go play outdoor, then they'll come back from outdoor and go play indoor, and just have this huge transition. And that allows them to stay. They always said it kept them in shape. Indoor was just more brutal than outdoor. And as the season progresses now, are you guys looking forward to making the same place that you guys made last year and advancing farther? Because you guys made it pretty far last year. We're just coming back after first time after COVID.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked about, you know, the outdoor and stuff. The game of futsal has grown so much here in America. You know, I still feel we're a little bit behind and catching up, but with a little bit of time and investment that the U.S. is putting into it and coaches are putting into it. You know, many of our guys play futsal as well now and mini football. And so with that being said, that's kind of where they keep their rhythm and you know, working on their fitness and their IQ and all those good things. We'll actually have two of our guys representing with the U.S. Mini football team going to the Mini Football World Cup that will be in United Emirates. And so that's going to be right around the corner. We have two of our players in David Ortiz and Sebastian Mendez that will be representing, you know, the U.S. and the Texas Outlaws as they go out at the end of this month and into November for the Mini Football World Cup.
Now, me being ignorant now, what is the mini football? Because now I'm thinking it's like a 5v5 style soccer. So the mini, like they had this summer.
The mini football is it's kind of like futsal. It has no walls. It just has no walls. It's obviously similar to the indoor rules and futsal rules.
The combination of the two. Got it. Yeah. That's really cool because it's, I mean, what they're doing with this beautiful game is amazing. I don't know if it's getting better at marketing or people are truly catching on to what the rest of the world calls football. They're becoming more developed and better, mature with age.
For sure.
Here.
And, you know, there's a lot of, well, you know, DFW is a hotbed for soccer. So, you know, there's really been a big push for growing the game of futsal and mini football. And so, you know, we're just excited to be a part of it and have some of our boys to go represent, you know, not only the U.S., but us here at the Texas Outlaws. And then just, you know, go out and live the dream that most of us that were soccer players always wanted, you know. And so now to have some guys here from the DFW area that are on those teams just, I think, speaks volumes to the quality soccer that's here in the Dallas Metroplex.
Awesome. So as time has progressed with everything with all the players, do you guys how do I describe this? As the players, how do they interact with the fans then at the matches at games? I know that I can't say anything because I've never been to an Outlaws match yet. It's on our bucket list this year to do because our personal connection with the team is to. I know that the sidekicks after the match, all the sidekick players go to the arena and do autographs and
Yeah,
mingle with everyone. Do you guys do things like that to have customer engagement?
We'll have youth nights where we invite local teams out to participate in our youth nights. That's going to be something that we'll be announcing closer to November when that date will be. And then after every one of our home games, we do something similar as well. Down on the field, we give our fans and specifically the kiddos the opportunity to interact with our players, take a quick photo, get their autograph, and then many like I said, many of our players do those private sessions and stuff, so they'll always have a bunch of their kiddos that they train out at the games supporting and watching them. And so after the game, it just gives those kids something to look up to and dream, at the end of the day, to one day be in those kids' shoes. So yeah, we do that as well. And I think it's awesome, for the younger generations, and just gives them that that those goals to work after.
I love that. I think that's we're in an age. I'm going to age myself. So I graduated in 2002. So I am 39. I'll be 40 next year. And looking at the player engagement with pro athletes in the community is phenomenal because there are so many more pro athletes now that are able to interact with players that are from the local Metroplex versus having to come from abroad and. So I take the Outlaws as the example here is that you guys have a roster of what? I'm trying to remember. I looked it up the other day. Just I was curious what a roster carries. I can't remember. Let's say it's 20 players, and those 20 players now interact with your community. How often does it draw more people to the arena for you guys, do you think?
Yeah, for
Having that personal
sure.
connection.
Yeah, absolutely. Those players that are doing their private sessions and stuff, day in and day out on our home games, we'll see them in the stands and their teams supporting them. So I think that's a big part too of our fan engagement, is them having that personal connection with our players. And being able to go out there and cheer for them and support them, and just the camaraderie behind all that, and that's something too that we look to strengthen this upcoming year, and just make really a fun, engaging family environment where you can come out, watch talented soccer guys get after it, and ultimately. Push to get back to the playoffs again.
Now, I feel like Mesquite kind of has some history here. I'm trying to remember, like I said, I try not to look anything up. What is the history with the Outlaws in the Metroplex then? Because I hear stories, I know some of the other clubs like FC Dallas and all of them, but what is the Outlaws history then in the Metroplex? Because have they always been out in Mesquite or have they been elsewhere? And how old is the actual club as a whole?
For sure. So 2019 was the first year that the Mesquite Outlaws started. Obviously, that was right around COVID and stuff. And so they played a few games that year. I want to say roughly like 4 to 6 games or something like that. And then obviously COVID happened and kind of shut down everything. And then this past year was our first year back since that. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
And
So.
so I mean, technically, that year one, 2019, that really wasn't a year in essence, but that was our first rollout year. And then this last year was our first year back pre-COVID. And then this will be our second. So you
That's
have
great.
that year of COVID. Last year we had the full season, and then this year will be our second full season.
Oh, 2.5 seasons. So Tattoo, he's been there since 2019 then, right?
Correct. Yeah, Tattoo and his staff have been here. He's a staple in the DFW and specifically the MASL. And so he's getting after it. He's excited about this upcoming season. And so yeah.
I recently saw on your social media he's the only player in MASL history to be player of the year and coach of the year in the same year. I think that's what it said.
Yeah.
That's awesome because, but he has a rich history, and I think people don't realize his history with this beautiful game either. It's the history of the players that you guys have, not just with that play arena soccer. It is they have a huge history with this game. And I mean, if you just go read the profiles of your coaches, I mean, I only read Tattoos is because of Segu, and I knew Segu's because his wife shared it with my family and before I even did research. So learning about these guys and watching you guys market these men and these coaches for you guys is absolutely amazing. And you mentioned David Ortiz, make sure I said it correct. And it's like the soccer world's really small, and I don't think people realize how small the soccer community is here. If I'm not mistaken, he's a local that grew up here, correct?
Yeah. So he's
Yeah.
from the McKinney area.
And it's very fascinating. Like you start doing research on these players and how many of these players make it big, and they stay local because of the pride they have for the community. And it says a lot about the clubs like yours that allow these players to still play in their, I mean, McKinney's not that far from Allen, in my opinion, or no, Mesquite, sorry,
From
from
Mesquite,
Mesquite,
yeah.
from Mesquite area. I mean, it's not that far, but he still is able to play in his community, so to speak. I mean, I always joke that the DFW area is the size of Connecticut, and I mean, you put Connecticut over the Metroplex. That's the size of Connecticut, and people don't realize how big our community is here. And people will drive from Fort Worth to go watch you guys play, to watch the club
Yeah.
play. And how do you guys are going to continue to encourage people to come out? I know that it's very hard because you guys are in Mesquite, and I mean, for me and Keller, that's 1 hour and 15 minute drive for a 2 hour and 15 minute match, roughly 2.5
For
hours of
sure.
time. How do you guys encourage people to come out to play, to
Yeah,
watch you guys
so
play?
kind of using like I said, the fan engagement and family oriented is one of our big areas of focus. We're going to be ramping that up this year, and doing new things to make sure that when our fans, whether it's someone that's been a fan for the last 30, 40 years, or it's somebody it's their first indoor game, making sure that we make the experience an experience that they're going to leave there and say, I'm coming back next week, And so we're going to be rolling out some things this year, and really just focusing on that family engagement, and making sure at the end of the day, like I said, it's all about the brand and continuing to grow the brand. We've been able to do a lot in a little bit of time. And so just also using some of our players and their communities that they built. We've got another guy that I coached as well growing up, Eric Macias. He's a local kid from Mesquite. He graduated from Mesquite Horn. And so him being right here in our community of Mesquite, says a lot to all of the kids here who are high school players in the Mesquite area. He's went off, he got his college degree. He's playing for the Texas Outlaws. He's been in and out of the national team camps for futsal. But that just shows, you know, our players specifically in the Mesquite area and DFW that that it's possible, and we want to make sure that we capitalize on that when we have our home games and just highlight those things.
That's so cool. He's actually like a kid that could have been, if you guys were old enough to be there, to be a kid that's watching it. And now the next generation of players will have an idolized person to idolize and to grow up wanting to be like. I mean, I bet you get,
yeah.
I guarantee you're going to have a place filled with the local high school kids that's coming and watching him. And not even just Mesquite, just maybe, I don't know how the ISD set up there, but the ISD will probably support him because they're proud of that. I have a graduate that came from the ISD there.
We've got something really special coming for our home game. Like I said, we'll announce it here soon. It's exciting times, you know. Back when I played, some of the coaches that were coaches that I played against, you know, they're you know, in positions of Mesquite ISD that we're going to roll out some fun things. And like I said, Eric Macias being a graduate from one of the Mesquite high schools here, and you know, him having the opportunity to play in front of his hometown, I think that's special, you know, for him, for the coaches, for the staff, for everybody.
I love it. I love it. I love it. With the community outreach and community engagement, I'm trying to, I call it lure fans into the seats, because watching these games online, I'll use this as my example. Last season, I watched a lot of your guys' games online, and watching nationwide, if you go to California, they're jammed packed. You go to Utica, it's not so much the case. You come here, I'll probably say they're 75% full easily for majority of the match.
Yeah.
Now, how do you guys plan on, are you guys plan on trying to get it to 100% capacity, so it looks like when you guys go out to California or more heavily riched soccer communities, to fill them like that? Or is it to just let it grow naturally, because you guys are so, I mean, you're 2.5 seasons old. I mean, going on your third season here.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, myself, Brad, Michaela, and our other staff members that are in the front office, just really getting out into the community, and you know, we have a broader cast this year, and so, you know, even during our tryouts, we've had players come in to try out from all over the place, from down in the valley to El Paso to Houston, San Antonio. We even had, you know, a couple guys come over from Oklahoma. And so we've really just been focusing on the brand, making sure that, you know, we're turning over every stone, and not leaving any stones unturned. And so that's what we've been doing right now in the front office. And, you know, like I said, one of our sayings is that Brad always says is, you know, get after it. And so that's kind of one of our, you know, that one, and we are Texas. And so just really turning over every stone that we can. And then once we get to December 16th, just making sure that we show up and we execute.
Love it. That's awesome. The 16th. Now, you keep on talking about foot soul. My brain keeps on going back to it. I'm bouncing all over the place. I am so sorry.
No, you're fine.
The ADH mind of a 39-year-old man here that talks like he's a 12-year-old kid. How much similarity then is it between foot soul and arena soccer?
So
other than there's walls.
Yeah. I mean, some of the progressions and the rotations that the players – you know, do on futsal, you'll see a lot of it translate into indoor soccer. You know, the game has changed in both in indoor and outdoor. And so like with futsal, you know, there's a lot of rotations, and just kind of knowing their time frames. You know, it's usually minute and a half rotations that they're going and getting after it. And so you know, a lot of people think you know, oh yeah, you know, I'm in shape. And then when you get in there, it's a whole different game, you know. And so our guys do take pride in making sure you know, that they're fit and they're ready to each game, you know, go out and do their part.
Where are you guys? Where can we find you? What's your social medias? What are your websites? I mean, I will link them in the show comments because I feel like that's important for you guys to get your brand out there. But other than coming out on the 16th of December and cheering out the Texas Outlaws, where can we cheer you guys on social media? I know that you guys are you guys still on tw is it not Twitch? Is it Twitch or something like that? But
Twitch is the streaming. We will be on Twitch again. You know, that's the league sponsor. And so our games will be you know, streamed on Twitch. We're really active, you know, on social media, you know, on Instagram, Texas Outlaws FC, you know, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. You know, Texas Outlaws FC on there as well. And then also, you know, Facebook. You know, we're making sure that we engage in those areas to continue to grow the brand and get the name out there, because you know, we still run into places that people are like, who's the Texas Outlaws or who's the Mesquite Outlaws previously, you know. And so really just continuing to get the brand out there. You know, we got our competitor down the road that they have history behind them, and so we're you know, starting all that from the ground up. And you know, I look back at my personal, you know, journey, and it seems like I've always been a part of something building up. And so I, like I said, I'm competitive, and so I'm out here getting after it, doing everything I can to with our staff to make sure that we let people know who we are, and that we're going to get out there on the field and get after it and work to get our spot in the playoffs again.
awesome. Now, my favorite question for all my interviewers, or all my interviewees, sorry. Who has been your greatest influence as a player? And since you've coached, who's your greatest influence as you as a coach? And I would also like to add, who's been your greatest influence to continue your soccer journey beyond coaching and playing?
Yeah, so I guess my biggest influence, like I said, is would first be you know, my parents and stuff, but them not having the opportunities, and just being from a smaller culture, to myself, kind of gave me a chip on my shoulder to go out and do everything I can, compete, and try to take wherever I'm at to the highest level. Some coaches that really impacted me throughout the years would be, you know, my high school coach Casey Osborne, as well as another one of my high school coach, Brian Jennings, who's out in Houston now. I think those two guys really helped mold and form me. And then obviously later on, Coach Wright and Coach Sam McCutcheon, who he's the one that started the project there at Howard Payne. So those guys really just giving me the opportunity, encouraging me to continue to stay in the game even after my car accident. I think I owe them a lot. And then just, you know, at the end of the day, God's always in my corner as well. So I think those are kind of the main influencers that I have, and that kind of just helped me continue my journey.
Love it.
Hey everyone, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Michael was a great person to talk to, lots of information. I promise you, you'll probably be hearing from him again in the near future. And I hope you guys check out the Outlaws. I will link all their social medias below, their website, and any other information I can get on them for them. And if you guys
want more information, you can find them on their social media. If you guys enjoyed this episode of Chat by the Pitch, or any of the episodes of Chat by the Pitch, this podcast in general, please give us a review, some stars, and share this podcast with others so we can continue growing this podcast. Until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.